I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we are welcoming back to our studios two of the members of a local trio, Diet Folk. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Hello.
It is Tony Peterson and Diedrick Clark joining us today. And Boyd Smith, drummer, right? Not
yep.
here. Not here.
He's on vacation with his brother.
Is he? Is he going to be at the show tonight?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
Back to our roots.
Yeah, this is how you started, right?
Yeah.
How long has Boyd been with the band?
Over a year.
Months, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So
we have a bass player now too. It's actually a quartet. We've got Roger on bass.
Yep.
He's not here either. We figured if there was going to be a lack of a drummer, it would just go back to us two and simplify it.
Just cut out the rhythm section altogether.
Exactly.
And how long has Roger been with the band? Because he's not on your most recent album, right?
Nope.
Right.
He's really recent.
Okay.
A few months.
Okay. Well, let's hear a song, and then we'll come back and talk about the album and what you guys have been up to since last year when you were here at the end of 2011. So we'll find out what you've been up to since then.
Sounds good.
Afternoon, and I
Diet Folk live from Studio A. And that was one from your new album, Cold,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really nice album, came out in June. And Diedrich, you're kind of the main songwriter for this band, right?
Yep. Tony writes a bit too, but
yeah,
I write a lot.
And last time you guys were here, you talked about you're both from Cloquet. Mm-hmm. You guys knew each other there. And Diedrich, I think you said you started playing guitar in high school.
Yep.
And when did you start songwriting?
I started seriously trying to write songs probably like in my freshman year of college, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really write anything before that. I wrote a little bit, but they weren't any good. All right, it's very serious.
How long was it until you felt like what you were doing was, you got some keepers out of it?
Probably into my sophomore year of college, I felt like I had some that I should play.
Any that you still keep around and still play?
There's some from the first album that we still play at shows and stuff, and I wrote that during my sophomore year of college.
The first Diet Folk album?
Yep.
Well, you're an awful young guy then, right? You're still pretty darn young. So tell me about making this latest album. Tell me about the songs. Like, how long did it take you to get the songs together for this one? Did you have a whole batch of them ready to go?
We had some songs that we played even when we were writing the second album or the first album, and we didn't have time to put them on there basically, and they weren't finished. So it was basically a year's worth of songs, and then some of them just got written right at the end while we were recording them. Cold actually was written on the way to the studio to record the album. On the way to Sacred Heart, I was writing it.
That one ended up being our single, too, mm-hmm. which is crazy because he finished it there in the studio making up lyrics. I was watching him write it on a pad and making stuff up, and then it ended up being like the best song on the album and the title of the album as well.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Well, that is funny how it works. I mean, is there a difference between songs that you kind of spend a lot of time shaping versus the ones that just kind of...
Yeah, there definitely is a difference, I think. It's just the ones that you spend a lot of time on are sometimes better lyrically, maybe, but the ones that happen really fast, I feel like, have just a good feel to them because they're just happening. It's quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then when you do something right when you're making the album like that, I bet it evolves a little bit once you start playing it out.
Yep, definitely did. It evolved a lot while we were just sitting there messing around with it, getting ready to record it. And Tony was thinking of new things to do on the banjo and stuff, and it sounded a lot better. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Now, what was the title of the one that you just played?
Voice Set on Fire.
Okay. And you want to tell me a little bit about that one and what inspired that?
That was just basically me thinking back on when I was in high school and younger and thought I was really cool, thought I was much better than I am. And it was kind of a humorous, I was looking back on it laughing, and then that's basically what it was about when I had a bigger ego.
So you're a little more humble now.
I think so.
Is that what being in the music biz has done to you?
Maybe. Probably.
Playing for like, you know, have you ever played for like a really small crowd?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, many times. Many times.
No, the ego is amazing in music. It can go through the roof, and then next day or even later on that night, you're just back down again. Because everyone forgets. You can finish a show and everyone's like, that was really great. And 20 minutes later, they won't even remember you. And it's like, oh. Or you can have a terrible show and a great show. Keeps you humble, but it also keeps you pretty pumped up at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it gives you something to keep striving for.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if it was always great all the time, then you'd just get kind of complacent, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So where did you guys record this album? Now, the first one, I think, you did kind of more lo-fi. This one, actually, was it at Sacred Heart, right?
Mm-hmm, it was. Okay. Yeah, we recorded this one at Sacred Heart. And one of the fun things about this that I remember recording is we had a lot of ideas that were just spur of the moment in practicing. Like when while he was setting up the microphones, the engineer, when he was setting them up, we were just practicing some ideas and things that would make us laugh or smirk and get excited was the stuff that we would put down on the album. And I remember it being really organic and just happening quickly. And some of the stuff was just kind of silly. It's like, oh, that would be a hilarious drum groove. Let's make this one sound like it's a funk tune. And then they ended up sounding just excellent. That's, this band can be so eclectic because with Diedrich's songwriting, you can write a funk song. And but then it comes out sounding like Diet Folk. And it's really exciting for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah, I was reading your bio online, and then there was something about a song from a 50s prom.
Yeah,
I don't remember which song it was, but then that came to mind when I was listening to the album. I'm like, that must be the song they were talking about,
because
it really did kind of have that. Which one would that be?
The Lake.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you do kind of have an eclectic sort of sound.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of bands have inspired you in your songwriting and in your music, Diedrich?
I like a lot of Ryan Adams and D Deer Tick I like a lot. And I don't know who else really inspires me songwriting wise. Like a lot of older bands, like the Motown time. I like that kind of music right now. Justin Townes Earl.
And your voice, I think, is an important part of this band. And I think you, last time you were here, you said you were in choir in high school. But as you've kind of been going along as a songwriter and a performer, is that something that you've paid more attention to, your voice and how to use it as a
kind of, yeah,
performer?
Yep. It's definitely evolved from when I first started singing and I was kind of a little scared maybe or something. And now it's, I don't really care. I want it to sound whatever in a certain way, then it's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you, were there any songs that ended up not making it onto the album? How did you decide which ones?
Yeah, there was some that I didn't really want to be on the album, mostly just because they weren't very good. Mm-hmm. I just scrapped songs.
So it wasn't too hard to decide which ones.
No, not really.
There was a definite pile of good ones and pile of not so
exactly.
good ones.
Yep.
And you had some special guests on this one. Ben Cosgrove, tell me about him.
He's someone that I ran into in Boston, and he plays with Saint Anyway as well. He plays keyboard there, so that's how I know him. And then he can just play anything. And so we asked him to play like flugelhorn, organ, a bunch of accordion, a bunch of stuff, because he's a multi-talented guy, and he lives in Boston. So we did sent him tracks back and forth via Dropbox. So with current technology, he didn't even have to be in the same state, and he just laid down as much of, just built this big texture. So.
Mm-hmm. And was that because you went to the Berklee School of Music for a mm-hmm. while, right? Is
yep.
he somebody that you met through that?
I met through a friend there at Berklee, yeah, but he didn't go to Berklee.
Okay.
I met him through a mutual friend.
And he has his own solo career. And
he does, yeah. He tours all around the state, mm-hmm. all around the country, mm-hmm. just doing solo acoustic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned Saint Anyway, which is one of your other bands, Tony. Mm-hmm. Does he do stuff with Saint Anyway, or is it that long distance thing again?
It's long distance. When Saint Anyway goes to Boston, he joins us over there.
Oh,
but
I see.
Sometimes he comes here, and he's done a couple stuff with Diet Folk as well when it matches up. But we've been trying to convince him to move to Minnesota so that he could be a member of the band because his sounds are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He adds a lot.
He's
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm. Diedrich, how about touring for Diet Folk? How much have you guys done?
I've done a lot of serious, like, long-distance touring, really. We've kind of stayed around here. I've toured a little bit by myself under the name to Colorado and to Chicago and stuff. But other than that, not much. We're planning more this.
Yeah, April and May, and it's going to be a summer full of hopefully some long-distance tours for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how does that work with Tony having other projects going on? How do you balance that, Tony? Like, where does this one
got
to
plan in? Really far in advance, basically, because mm-hmm. I'm trying to just be a performing musician for a career right now, and so I have to plan like 4 months in advance. And so Diedrich took the semester off of school, and so for the first time it opens up his schedule as well. So now we're planning it out. He's got everything up until September off, and so we're going to try to book up this summer.
Yep,
great.
Fill it up.
It's difficult to make calendars match, but I think this is going to be the summer for it.
And you do some solo stuff too, right,
Deidre? Yep, that's a lot of this semester will be a lot of solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. What do you want to play next?
We're going to play a cover song by Paul Simon. That's okay. Slip sliding away, you know, the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. I knew a man, he came from my hometown. He wore his passion for his woman like a thorny crown. He said, Dolores, slip, sliding away. Slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. I knew a woman, became my wife. These are the very words she uses to describe her life. She said a good day ain't got no rain. She said a bad day's when I lie in bed and think of things that might have been. Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding.
Diet Folk live from Studio A. Is that one that you do in your set regularly?
Actually, we just learned that and we just decided to do it while we were sitting here.
Because it sounds great. Your voice works beautifully on that particular song.
Thanks.
I like that one. So before we turned on the microphones, we were talking a little bit, and you have an opportunity coming up in Nashville. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Diedrich?
Sure. I went down there in the summer to basically just scope things out. Someone invited me down there to come look around and check things out. He's like a scout of some sort, I think. And then I got a meeting with a producer, Ben Fowler. He's done some serious projects, some really good stuff with some big names. And then I just basically got to talk to him, got to do like a little sort of audition thing. And then he said that he'd like to work with me. And so we basically hashed out a little contract to make a full studio album, and then we've just been basically working on it from then on, kind of trying to get things settled, and it's taken a lot longer than I planned, but I should have known that it was going to take a long time. I still have plenty of songs to write, so I'm going down there at the end of this month to do some more writing with people that they have set up. And then,
so how did these people find out about you to begin with?
The cold video, I believe. It was a friend of our drummer's sent it to somebody who was a friend of them, and then they saw it, and they were like, oh, that's really cool, and then kind of contacted me.
Wow.
Pretty lucky, actually.
How often does that happen?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I've been reading Bruce Springsteen's biography that just came out, Bruce, and when he had to audition for Apple, or Columbia, I mean, and he had to sit down with that scout. This sounds just like that, like one of those old stories to me when he was telling me, like he had to play acoustic songs and win over the label guy. It's like, wow, that's like, I don't hear about that a whole often anymore. I mean, it seems like it used to happen, and then it just, that process doesn't seem to be so popular now. So I think it's really amazing.
Well, and I think it's harder for people, you know, that have to screen the music because there's so much more available with the internet, and it's so much easier for people to get you their video, their music. So it can be overwhelming to go through it. So to be, you know, kind of that needle in the haystack that somebody finds is pretty exciting.
I mean, hopefully, maybe that's not what it is, but I hope that that's what it is. I think so.
Did you do anything fun when you were down in Nashville?
Just went around and checked everything out, pretty much checked out like the strip of Nashville, and went down there and looked around, met some bands that I liked. Actually, the Lumineers were there. I saw that and I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, wow.
Just met them on the road, like on the side of the road.
Was that before they...
before they got really big.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and then I played a show there somewhere in Kentucky, but it was fun.
Well, good luck to you when you head back down there. Are you nervous?
Not kind of a little bit, but a little bit for like writing sessions with people that are much more experienced writers than I am. That's kind of nerve-wracking, but might as well not be nervous because there's really no point.
And, you know, you'll probably get a lot out of it.
It's going to be a big learning experience. That's what I'm most excited for.
Have you ever co-written with anybody?
A little bit. When I was down there, I co-wrote a little bit, but this will be more intense, I think, and it'll be definitely an experience that I'm not used to.
So what's the difference? I mean, how do you usually approach songwriting yourself? Does it start with music? Does it start with the words?
It starts with a melody most of the times, and I just sing it or whistle it into my iPhone into the voice recognition. Me and Tony were talking about that. Our voice memos fill up like half of our iTunes, and they're just horrible, and they come on in the iPod iPod shuffle when people are playing your music friends. And it's like, ooh, it comes on, you're like, oh god, turn it please. that's basically how it starts, and then lyrics from then,
and then you kind of work it from there. So how was that when you had somebody else in the mix? How did that work?
Strange. I don't know. It wasn't like...
Did you have to share what you had and then they...
Basically, yeah. I basically came with an idea. That's what they told me. Get a batch of ideas and come with that. And then from then on, you'll work together with it or whatever you have. And that's basically how it worked. Mm-hmm. It wasn't abrasive or anything. It was fun and easy.
Well, that's great. Well, we have time for one more. What else do you want to play here?
Play Cold.
This is the single and title track, and it's also our music video. If you check it out on YouTube, that's Legos with exploding heads. We're particularly excited about that.
Yep.
Kind of get a G. Thank you.
back to you. And I wake in the morning with the itch to be leaving every single day. To hop to the wheel and drive into the city, but I know how to run away. Oh, I wake in the morning with the itch to be leaving every single day. To hop to the wheel and drive into the city, but I know. To be leaving every single day, to hop to the wheel and drive into the city, but I know how to run away. I wake in the morning with the itch to be leaving every single day, to hop to the wheel and drive into the city, but I know how to run away.
That's Diet Folk, title track from their latest album, Cold, live from Studio A. Well, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Christine.
Thanks for having us.
We've had Diedrich Clark and Tony Peterson of Diet Folk here, and they're going to be playing tonight at Fitger's Brewhouse, 10 o'clock start?
Yep.
Right? And then a whole slew of shows in the area coming up after that. Montalac this, what is it, Friday and Saturday?
Yep.
And then it looks like the 24th you're going to be at Tycoons, and I think. And then the 28th you're at the College of St. Scholastica.
24th had to get canceled. Oh, he's going down for a writing session for that one.
Okay, but never mind
after
then.
After that, St. Scholastica and a whole lot more.
Okay. Yeah. And if people want more information, and that Cold video that you were talking about is on your website under the media section at dietfolk.com. And the name, I don't think we've talked about the name. Where did the name come from, Diet Folk?
It came more as like a... just kind of messing around before this we started making like serious stuff. It was basically just me and my friend making videos online, and then some of the songs weren't very serious, and then just evolved from there basically. And now it's kind of like a, it is like folk, and it has a little bit of not folk in it, and it kind of works out, and it's kind of like, I don't know, almost like a poking fun at the whole Diet Folk scene anyways. Like the, I don't know.
So everything these days can be categorized, and like we were talking about this last night, like an indie folk thing, it's so popular and it can be kind of commercialized. So it's like everything is a diet version of folk now. And so it's, we're kind of poking fun at
it's
that.
It's kind
idea.
Of funny.
The name's growing on us a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is kind of a heyday for this kind of music.
So yep.
You're kind of right at the right time. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio 8 was produced by me, Christine Dean, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, with additional support provided by The Playlist, Thursday nights at 9 on PBS North on WDSE, WRPT. To check out upcoming guests or listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio 8 on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.